see you here. I want to read one verse tonight. We've been singing about the verse, John 3:16. If you want to turn, I know we all know the verse, but it's nice to look at it and see those beautiful words. John chapter 3 and verse 16. And we shall again consider the love of God displayed in the gospel. John chapter 3 and verse 16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And God will bless, as he always does, the public reading of his precious word. Christian man had the privilege of having a prison ministry, and he went to see a man he never saw before. Very hardened man. And he began to talk to him, and he interrupted him right away, this man. He'd done many terrible things in his life. He was in the prison for a long time. He said, God is no friend of mine. He hates me, and I hate him. And the Christian man said, well, it may be that you hate God, but God does not hate you. And he said, well, where's the proof? He said, well, I tell you what. You stop talking for a minute. Because he's talk. You know, you don't learn anything when you're talking. Stop talking for a minute. And you listen. Will you listen to what God says in the Bible? He said, all right, I will. All right, you listen. He read John 3:16. He read twice. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Twice he read the verse. He said, now, is that enough proof for you, sir? And you know, his whole countenance had changed. He said, you know, I never heard that before. And they chatted a little bit, not very long. And that man bowed his head and he wept. A man who hated God and thought God hated him. A misconception of God. And when he realized how much God loved him, he couldn't resist and embrace the Savior. And the miracle took place. Salvation is a miracle. People think that God is not performing miracles. Like, where is God? We don't see him. The great miracle of salvation is being performed by God every day. Hundreds of souls around the world, especially in third world countries, are being saved. In North America, not so many, but people are being saved, and today there were souls saved. And if you're here tonight and you're not saved, if you're not 100% sure of heaven, then you're in the right place at the right time, because we are preaching the gospel. And the gospel, as Paul said in Romans 1:16, he said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel. For it is the power of God, dynamite of God, unto salvation to everyone who believeth. And when I bow the knee, when I finally surrender and embrace the Lord Jesus Christ as my Lord, my God, my Savior, God the Holy Spirit indwells my body for the rest of my life, and I'm not the same person. And people say, what happened to you? And you, with a great smile and joy in your heart, will tell them what happened. I came to the Lord Jesus Christ. And tonight he's saying to you, if you're not saved, he's saying, come. Come unto me by faith. Believe in me. Believe what I say. The world says, well, you know, when I see it, I will believe it. God says, you believe on my Son by faith, and then your eyes will be open and you'll see. How marvelous it is. And salvation is like we're in the darkness of sin. If you're not saved tonight, you're in the darkness of sin. When I'm saved, in that moment of time, it's like a light is turned on and I see and I know. I know why I'm here. God wants me to come to his lovely son, the Lord Jesus Christ. God is love. Oh, what a sweet verse is that. God is so many things, but God is love. And God loves men and women. God loves boys and girls. He loves you. I think a woman by the name, her name was Velma Barfield. Back in 1979, she was on lots of medication. Her mind was all mixed up and so on. Doesn't make any excuse for anybody's sin. She sinned. She poisoned a man she was going to marry. And she poisoned her own mother. They died. It's first degree murder, because you planned that one. Guilty. She knows she's guilty. She's in the jail cell. This is in Texas. And they're giving her medication. But she's not taking her medication. She's saving her medication day after day after day. She's waiting for the trial to come. The day came. The glass of water. She had a handful of these pills, and she knew she would die if she took the medication. That's what she wanted to do. She wanted to end her life and not go to court before all those people. She was ashamed of herself, devastated. She took the pills in her hand. She picked up the glass of water, and a book is written. I think it was written. I'm not sure who wrote a book. Maybe she wrote the book, but it's in the book. And what happened is this. In the jail cell, the jailer, a man that was sitting there in the night shift, turned the radio on. He was a Christian man, and he listened to this preacher at this time every night. And the preacher began his opening comments were always, God loves you. She's able to take the pills. And she heard that. God loves you. And her thought was this, not me. Not after what I have done. And then he said this, it doesn't matter what you have done. God loves you. She put the pills down, put the glass down, and in amazement she listened to this man preach about the love of God for sinners. Velma Barfield, born again, saved by the grace of God, in that jail cell on that night down in Texas. Oh, she went to trial. She told her lawyer, never mind trying to get me off, you know. He's going to try this and try that angle and so on. I'm guilty. I did it. I'm not going to blame any medications. I did that dastardly deed twice. So she received the death penalty. She went to prison. I'm not sure how many months went by. She led many women to Christ in that prison. And the day came for her to die. Mrs. Billy Graham was at her side when they gave her the lethal dose. And she went home to glory with peace, joy in her heart to see her Savior. God loves sinners. Doesn't matter what you've done, how much you've sinned, God is love, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. 25 words in the verse. The first 12 pertain to God. The last 12 pertain to man. And in the middle we have the Son. All about the Son. The Bible's all about the Son. The life of the Christian is all about the Son of God, the Lord Jesus Christ. We love him because he first loved us, gave himself for me. 25 times in the Word of God, the Lord Jesus Christ said, verily, verily. Understand what he's saying, I am God, I'm truth. Truly, truly, I say unto you. If you're not saved tonight, he wants to save you. Bring you into his family. He's looking for a response from sinners today to come and believe on him. His only begotten Son. Amazing love story. The Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. The Lord Jesus Christ. We read in the Word of God that it humbles God to behold the stars. It humbles God to behold the earth. And what did he do? He came down from the glory to this earth and became a man that he might redeem us, purchase us with his precious blood, save us from sin, its penalty, its power, and make new men and new women down here. And that's what he wants to do with anyone here tonight, and if you're not saved, 100% sure of heaven. That you want to become a new person, a new man, a new woman. I can remember when I was over in Kenya, the great privilege of being in the prisons over there, 1,200 men were around me, and they gave me the microphone, and I was like a dream. It was like a dream for me, preaching the gospel. And you could hear a pin drop in there. And the men were listening. Now, most men, when they get out of prison, they go back to their sin, back to the crime, back in prison again. I know that. I'm coming into my message. And I said, now listen, if you don't want to become a new man, you can be a new man. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, if anyone is in Christ, truly, truly in Christ, salvation is from the heart. I really mean business with God. I want to be a new person, new creation. And God says, if any person is in Christ, old things pass away. And then God says in the middle of that verse, behold. Now you behold the life of that person. You're going to see something. All things become new. If you want to become a new man, then trust Christ. Trust him now. But if you don't want to be a new man, if you're quite content with the person that you are, I told them, don't waste your time coming to see me. And don't waste your time, don't waste my time. But if you want to become a new man in Christ, then today's the day. And I watched in amazement close to 100 of those men. And they were striped clothing, you know, that they give prisoners. That's what they were wearing. And they're on their knees. They fell on their knees and they're weeping. I looked at them in amazement. Salvation. They wanted to become a new person. And they became new men in that very day, in a moment of time. And they stood there to give me their names. We chatted. All of them. We were there a long time. And taking their names down, and they all got Bibles, taking amazed Bible courses. And I pray for those men. I told them I would, and I do. Every day. Forget their faces, but God knows each and every one of them. Change lives. God can change your life, that you might live your life to the glory and honor of God, and know what it means to have life. Life begins with Christ. The perfect man, holy, harmless, undefiled, separate from sinners was he. Everywhere he went, all eyes were on Christ. Multitudes following this man. Never man spake like this man. Truly, truly I say unto you, the law says this, but I say unto you. They said, this man, he speaks with authority, not as the scribes. Indeed, with authority, he's God Almighty. He spoke the world into existence. Two chapters on creation. The whole Bible's about the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. It says, you know, he made the sun to rule by day. He made the moon to rule by night. And a comma. And just by the way, just so you know, he also made all the stars in the sky. Just two chapters on creation. That's how much the Son means to the Father. What does he mean to you? He wants you to become acquainted with him, to know him personally. Sinless, God was manifested in the flesh. That's why he could die on the cross for our sins, because he knew no sin. Peter, the man of action, he said he did no sin. Paul, the apostle, the thinker, he knew no sin. And John, the apostle of love, who leaned on the bosom of Christ, heard the heartbeat of God, said, in him is no sin. Hence, he was a perfect sacrifice for the sins of men and women. We do sin, and we know sin, and in us is sin, but not so concerning the blessed Lord Jesus Christ. He gave himself to save us from our sins. A lost eternity. That is what is ahead for all the people. All the people, a lost eternity, not even listening to God. If you're here tonight and you're not saved, you know, it's a marvelous thing that you're here. God is very good to you to bring you here, because you can be saved tonight. I read a story of a lady over in Scotland, and she was out and she was carrying her child, a small child. So she got off a train and she had to walk a few miles home. Back then, I guess it wasn't so uncommon, and so she began her little journey, and then a snowstorm. She had no idea there was going to be a snowstorm, but there was a snowstorm, and it was cold, and she knew she was not going to make it home. And she didn't. So they came out the next day, her husband and men, to find the lady with her child. Husband was frantic. And they came up upon her. She's leaning up against a rock. She's not living. She had frozen to death. What was amazing is that she'd taken off most of her own clothing. They moved her. And inside, there was a little hole in the rock. Inside the rock was her child. All her clothing. She wrapped the little child up with all her clothing. And there he was, alive. She purposely gave her life. She knew exactly what she was doing to save that little boy. Let me say, that is a wonderful story. That's love. She gave herself for that baby. She loved the baby. Well, that hardly compares, does it, with the Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for the whole world of sinners. That is what he has done. God punished his son. The storm, the judgment storm, fell upon the lovely person of the Lord Jesus Christ. And for those who trust him as Savior, there is no condemnation to them who are in Christ Jesus. So I'm either in Christ Jesus or I am in my sin. One or the other. So where are you tonight? If you're in your sin, tonight is the night. God wants you to come and embrace him and be in Christ. That's where a Christian is. No judgment. How marvelous that is to know. There's no judgment for my sin. Forgiven. The lovely Savior was punished for me. All my sins laid on him simply because God is love. Somebody wrote a poem on that phrase. The question was asked David, why camest thou down hither? You probably know the story about David. His brothers are down with the army and King Saul to fight the Philistines. David and Goliath. So David goes down. His father sent him down to see how his brothers were doing. David's only about 17 years old, and he's keeping some sheep. And so he goes down, and he looks around, and he sees the army. King Saul's over there. His brother meets him, and he looks at David, little David, and he says, well, you left a few sheep with somebody, did you, David? Kind of mocking the boy. You come down to see the battle. Well, David was very gracious, because David could have said, I don't see any battle. I don't see any battle. I see a man. I see a man standing over there defying our God, mocking our God. And I see all you men here, soldiers with swords and armor, and you're doing nothing. You're letting him mock God. Saul said, I'll give you armor. Because David said, I'll go to that man. He's challenging them. David goes with a slingshot and a stone. Goliath mocks him. David says, your head is coming off today. And he ran towards the giant, flung the stone, God guided it to his forehead, cut off his head with his own sword, and triumphantly carried it to Jerusalem. And David was one of the greatest men of God that ever lived, the greatest king of Israel. And he is a picture of our Lord Jesus Christ. Why camest thou down hither? He came down to deliver them. Why camest thou down hither? Asked of our Lord Jesus Christ, was it to slay thy foes? Oh, no, most blessed Savior, 'twas grace no mortal knows. Oh, thou most wondrous lover, thou lovest thine enemies. For them thou camest down hither to die between two thieves. Why camest thou down hither? Was it to seek for me? Why camest thou down hither when I hated thee? Why leave thy throne in glory for such a worm as I? Why camest thou down hither? It was for me to die. That's why he came down hither. It was for you to die for you. He loves you. He takes no pleasure in the death of those who die in their sins. No pleasure in that, to say, depart from me. I never knew you. You must know him. You must acquaint yourself with him before you leave your body. I remember talking to my father. He died at age 53. Sometimes God has to bring an earthquake into somebody's life to wake them up. He brought an earthquake in my father's life. My father knew God for me, because my father could do anything. Build a house, plumber, carpenter, fix anything, electrician, fix his car. I don't need God. No God for me. And then how about sitting across the desk from a doctor, and a doctor saying, you're full of cancer. You got about 4 months to live. Now, that's an earthquake. Got my dad's attention. Now, he's ready to listen. So I talked to my dad. And when I talked to my dad, I said, Dad, don't you want to know what God says about you? He said, no. At first he said, no. I'll wait till after I die. I said, you can't wait till after you die, because the Son of Man hath power on earth to forgive sins. After you die, it's too late. You'll die in your sins. And whither, he said, whither I go, you can't come if you die in your sins. So my father would listen. I'm so glad he listened. And I'd leave. I'd be home for a week or two at home. And he was dying. And when I'd leave, he'd cry. And my mother said to me, what kind of son are you? I'm the oldest of seven. I have five brothers and a sister. What kind of son are you? You come talk to your father and you leave and he cries. She never understood. I understood. She didn't understand, because my mother was not saved. And then I was forbidden to see my father alone. He's in the hospital in St. John, New Brunswick, St. Joseph's Hospital. And I'm thinking to myself, only saved about 5 months myself. I've got to get my dad saved. I've got to get my dad saved. I learned a great lesson on this day. I said, well, I'm going to go see my dad, whether my mom likes it or not. She's going to really give it to me. That's all right. So I wrote some verses down on a little card, and I went to the hospital. I'm standing outside the door. I'm going to go see my dad. I turn around and I walk in. And my dad says, Wade, I got some news for you. Weighed about 90 pounds. I'm saved. I said, you're saved? I had my card in my hand. I said, what do you mean you're saved? Well, he said, a man came in this morning to see me. He's a pastor of a Baptist church. He came in to see me and opened the Bible, showed me some verses, and I trusted Jesus Christ as my Savior, and I'm saved. Well, I put my card in my pants pocket. There's a lesson for me. Yes? God says, I save. You sow the seed. You tell them of my love. I save the mighty Savior. And my dad went on for 3 months after that. Amazing. The fruit. We lived behind a man named Roland Follett, an elder in the meeting in St. John, New Brunswick. We lived right behind them. And Roland Follett told me, I tried to talk to your father once. He told me where to go. The second day after my father was saved, he said, wait, could you bring Mr. Follett in to see me? You see, all things pass away. Behold, all things become new. He wasn't even the same man anymore. God saved his soul. I don't think my mother ever forgave me. That's all right. She didn't understand. We who are Christians, see, we understand. We understand, we know. Hell is a very real place. So we'll take anything. We'll take anything this world has to give. We'll still preach the gospel. Because God's given us a love for souls. And if you're not saved, again, on behalf of God, obey, I beseech thee. That's what Jeremiah said, the king, the word of the Lord. Obey, I beseech thee, the word of the Lord, before it's too late. He so loved the world, gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever, isn't that lovely? Whosoever may be saved. I'm glad it doesn't say Wade LeBlanc, because I'd be thinking probably of some other Wade LeBlanc in the world, not me. God says, whosoever. And that means me, and that means you. A gospel preacher was over in London, had the great privilege of having children's meetings, an orphanage, 300 of them. And he's teaching them, whosoever, God died and gave his life, that whosoever will may come and believe and be saved. Sure of heaven, joy in my heart, love everybody. Now he's done. Now he got 6 pennies, he put them under a book on the platform and said, now, whosoever will, wants these 6 pennies, come and get them. And he waited. And not one child stirred. So he looked at them all and waited. And finally, a little boy at the back gets up out of his seat and comes up the aisle. He was shy, was 6 years old. His hands trembling a little bit. He reaches up. 6 pennies was a lot of money back then. 6-year-old boy. So he takes his 6 pennies in his hand and turns around to go back and sit down. And the preacher said, just a minute, boy. Now he's very, very nervous. He turns around, looks at the preacher. He said, what's your name? He said, my name is Cecil Smithers, sir. Well, I didn't say Cecil Smithers could have the 6 pennies. He said, no, sir, you didn't. But you said, whosoever, and I know whosoever's me. You just told me so. Back he went and sat down. With the pennies, a great lesson for all the other children. Whosoever will may come. Isn't it a tragedy that so few will come? Misconception of God. God loves you. God loves you so much, he wants to bless your life. You won't even begin to live until you know the Lord Jesus Christ. Whosoever will may come. But we have to come. It's a choice that we make. Believeth in him. 99 times in John's gospel is the word believe. It means to trust, to believe. To believe what you read. John told us why he wrote the book. But these are written that ye might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing ye might have life through his name, eternal life. 99 times, I do believe God is seeking in this book to get a message across to men and women and boys and girls. Believe on my Son and you're saved. That's salvation. Trust him. Turn from your sin. That's why so few come to Jesus Christ, because we love our sin and we like to control our own lives. I've got to let go. We have to let go of the control of our life. Let my will to God be given. I come in surrender. That expression, you can't have your cake and eat it too. I can't have my sin. I can't go about my own business and do what I want to do the rest of my life and have Christ as my Savior. It doesn't work that way. I must surrender. Would you surrender tonight? If you're here and you're not saved, young or old, would you surrender? Finally, come to the end of yourself. Like the Apostle Paul, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? No longer is it I'm going to do what I want to do. What wilt thou have me to do, Lord? Well, Wellington was a great, he was ahead of the army, the commander in England, and he defeated Napoleon at the Battle of Waterloo, and we're thankful that he did. On one occasion in France, there was a battle going on, and the English won, and the three French generals come forward to surrender to Wellington. Yeah, he's standing there, the commander of the British army, and the three generals come up, and one of them says to him, you know, it is an honor to surrender to such a fine commander as you. He didn't smile. He said, gentlemen, I don't want your flattery. I want your swords. You lay them down at my feet. And lay them down they did. Surrender. And that's why so few are saved. They refuse to surrender. I've got to surrender and come to the end of myself and want the Lord Jesus Christ to be my Lord and my God. What are the consequences of not believing in Him? Why did God send His Son that we should not perish? Perish means to be lost, separated from God for all eternity. That is the future of the majority of people in this world, in this city of Schenectady. Perish. God says, I don't want you to perish. I don't want you to. But that is exactly what's happening. In the Psalms we read that they're utterly consumed in a moment, in terrors, plural. That's a very solemn verse, isn't it? How awful must it be when someone breathes their last breath and God says they're utterly consumed in terrors. And now they know. Now they know. But now it's too late. There's a man in England, he heard the gospel, he knew about these things. He doesn't care. He's driving along in his car. He's out in the country. He sees a boy on the side of the road, a country boy. He's an educated man from the city. He thought he had some fun with the boy. So he stops the car and pulls over and he rolls the window down. He says, boy, come here. He says, can you tell me how far it is to hell? Well, there happened to be a town nearby that sounded like hell. And the boy thought he was asking about that little town. And he said, sir, you just keep on going the way you're going and you'll soon be there. You know, he wasn't the same man after that. No, sir. God used that little boy to speak to that man's heart. He knew it was true. Now you, tonight, if you're not saved, you just keep on going the way you're going. You just keep on going the way you're going and doing what you want to do, going where you want to go, getting what you want to get. God will let you do it. But you'll soon be there. That's where you'll be. Because you have refused. That is the unpardonable sin, is to refuse the gift of God, eternal life, through Jesus Christ our Lord. How solemn it is. What must I do to go to hell? At the appropriate time, I will. I love giving this to teenagers today. You know, they're thinking today, these teenagers. They know something's coming. They know it in their hearts. These teenagers today in high school, they're not like they used to be. I've been doing this for 29 years, and they're different today. I have a gospel tract that says, which church saves, and I'll give it to them. Cashiers, little guys on the street, young girls walking along at the lunch hour in St. Stephen, which church saves? They look at it. Cashier, look at it. People are standing in line. I don't leave her waiting too long. I say, it's a question, isn't it? I'll give you the answer. It's none. None. The Lord Jesus Christ saves. So they can all hear. They can all hear the Lord Jesus Christ. He's the Savior, the only Savior of sinners. And I hope you read that little tract, dear. And I hope I'll see you in heaven. And I leave the store with what I purchased. This one says, what must I do to go to hell? What do you think you have to do to go to hell? Did you ever wonder? How about that for an answer? Nothing. Nothing. Just keep on going the way you're going without Christ as your Savior. Because we're born going the wrong way. Backs to God. My will be done. I sin. That's okay. Everybody sins anyway. So I'll keep on going. And my friend, at the end of life's journey, that is the only place for you. Because you refuse to bow the knee to the Lord Jesus Christ. Everlasting life. I asked the children, well, how long does everlasting life last? Well, it's a silly question, isn't it? It's everlasting life. If it ceased for a split second, it wasn't everlasting. God says it's everlasting life, and you have it right now. 1 John chapter 5 is so lovely. The apostle of love. Oh, he writes so much about the love of God in his epistles. And he says, this is the record that God hath given to us eternal life. And this life, where do I find this eternal life? In this church or that religion? He says, it's in the Son. This life is in his Son. And he that hath the Son hath life. And if you don't have the Son, you don't have life. And then in verse 13, he says, now, these things I've written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know, K-N-O-W, that ye may know that you have, right now, eternal life. Isn't that a wonderful verse? John 6:37, he says, him or her that cometh to me for salvation, I will never, never, under any circumstances, that's what the word no wise means, cast out. Never. It doesn't depend on the sinner. He is the one who's done all the work. It is finished. Have eternal life. That's what this verse says, isn't it? Have everlasting life. I have a Bible in my hand. And because Christ is mine, I have already eternal life. I'm not hoping to go to heaven. Those of us in this room who know Christ as Savior, we know. We know. Just like I know I have a Bible in my hand. Well, I don't hope I do. I know I do. What about you tonight? Do you know? Do you know you're going to heaven? I ask people that all the time and knocking on doors. Well, I hope so. If you hope so, sir, I'll tell you something. You're not a Christian if you're hoping. If I said to you, sir, I hope I'm going to heaven, I'd be saying to you, I'm not really sure I can believe God. But I believe God. In Acts 27, Paul said, I believe God that it shall be even as it was told me. That's salvation. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, thou shalt be saved. I believe God that it shall be even as it was told me. I am saved because I believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. It's a choice. It's a choice that we make. And he wants to save you tonight. Pilate asked the question, what shall I do? 3,000 questions in the Bible, 3,000 plus. And that's the most important one. What shall I do then? Nobody else can decide for you. What shall I do then with Jesus the Christ? Yet his wife had a messenger go to Pilate and see, and she said, I've had some bad dreams today about that man, Jesus Christ. The Pilate was the judge, you see. And she said, have thou nothing to do with that just man? But you know that's an impossibility. We all have to do with that just man. Can't get around him. If you won't have him now as your Savior, you will see him as your judge in a coming day. Tonight he's saying, come unto me. then he will simply say to you, depart from me, I never knew you. And why didn't you know him? Why doesn't he know you? Because you didn't want to know him. He's longing to know you. Have you share your life with him? It's a choice that we make. When you have to make a choice and you don't make it, well, you've actually made a choice, haven't you? I stood there at the back of the building here and held out a gift to you. And I said, this is for you. And you looked at me and turned around and walked out the door without taking the gift. I do believe you made a choice. You didn't say anything. You didn't say a word. But you didn't receive the gift. In other words, no thank you. And that happens. How tragic it is. It happens all the time. Men and women, young and old, in gospel meetings, God calls. They know it's God calling. The choice, choose Christ tonight. And they leave without doing so. And they go back out in the world the way they came in their sins. There's a graveyard over in Paris. A French prince is buried there. And on his tombstone, it says, here lies a man of the best intentions. That could be written on so many gravestones. People that intended to be saved. Is that you tonight? You know you need to be saved. You know how to be saved. Full surrender. Full surrender. Not to be ashamed of Christ. Not to be ashamed. I am a Christian and I live for Christ. That's why I do what I do. That's why I don't go those places. This is why I live like I live. Because Christ is my Savior. That's salvation. Full surrender. Trust Jesus Christ and you will be saved. No half-hearted thing. There are many who intend to be saved. They know how to be saved. But for some reason, known only to them, known only to you, perhaps tonight, and God, you haven't done so. Well, I would just ask you tonight, plead with you tonight on behalf of God to do so, because time is running out for you, for this world. He's coming back again. May God bless you if you're here tonight and you have no personal relationship with Jesus Christ. May God bless you, young or old, man or woman. Surrender. Surrender to Christ. Bow the knee to him tonight. Humble yourself before this mighty God and thank him for becoming sin for you. Receive him as your Lord and then live for him. Live for his glory. Live for his honor. There's a noble purpose to life. Yes, I don't live for me, seeking to bring pleasure to me. No, I seek to bring pleasure to the heart of my wonderful Savior. May God bless you and thank you for listening. We'll pray. Heavenly Father, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we draw near to thee. We thank thee, Father, for such a Savior, for this wonderful verse, Father. We thank thee. We know millions upon millions have been saved through the reading and believing on the Lord Jesus Christ, as it's so expressed in John 3:16. We thank thee, Father. We thank thee we can still stand so freely and proclaim the glorious gospel, the story of thy love. And we pray, Father, tonight for any our little company. Thou knowest, Father. Thou knowest them that are thine. If by chance someone is here tonight and they're not born again, Christ one, may this be the night of nights for them, Father, when they would bow the knee and embrace the Lord Jesus Christ, that the angels might rejoice and the sinner rejoice and we rejoice together to the honor and glory of thy Son, in whose name we pray, our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.